Heyo, today, we're kind of exploring a tough subject. One that I have sort of remounted as I've gone through this. And I think as I reflect on what I just talked about, this idea that especially in the beginning, and it's a tough balance, but this less is more, and your ability to sort of slowly build your way into something bigger. And in this world of scale and numbers and all the things, I think it's really challenging to resist that natural urge to spread this bigger, faster, stronger, than maybe you're ready for. And I think sometimes that's not always taken into account with businesses. When they're building, when they're kind of mounting up to do this thing that, not always are those numbers and abilities important or necessary in the beginning. And luckily, one of my mentors came in at a severely impactful time in my journey, and she really urged me to slow down and to get all the thoughts and ideas out on paper before moving forward on them, and not continuing in the rat race because it really wasn't necessary. Like, just because social media and people were asking for these certain things did not mean that I had to deliver on them. And I needed to deliver on the things that I could deliver on consistently and build those and add back to as I got comfortable and ready and willing to do that. And, social media kind of creates this urge and demand to move faster, to build bigger, to do all these things. And I think at the end of the day, like, your network will build where you need to go next. And I have found that existent in so many realities of my journey so far that I'm only now realizing, oh, yeah. And you try to out-network that and you try to create this new network, but then that's a full-time job in itself. I have these new relationships to nurture and I have this whole new thing that I got to build, right? And why? And is it necessary? And do you have capacity, most importantly? And I did not have capacity to continue building in the way that I was. And it kind of took life breaking me a little bit for me to realize I'm. This engine that I'm building for and towards is ineffective, and it's not helping me. In fact, it was hurting me. Okay, let's go. Hey, you're on this journey, on this season five vibe, and everything season five, as I'm forecasting what it will look like, is all about settling into the being, the knowing, transitioning from believing to knowing, and fine-tune correcting what that looks like, and just living. And we started out this show. Really thinking that this was going to happen overnight. And one of my greatest accomplishments of all of this will be just continuing on and showing an example, a real life example of what it looks like to turn your life around. And so if you're just happening upon this show in season five, you should know there are four other seasons that have followed me on this journey. This journey of turning my life around, this journey of finally getting to this place where I wasn't angry and spiteful and hateful and ego-driven. It really follows all of that. So you can go back to the start. What I will caution you is that it is unedited and pure and raw And I was still very much in that ego hate phase of my life. And it's all lived out loud. And this whole journey has been lived out loud in truth. So you will hear me venturing into businesses that, if you follow the link that I am promising you will be there, you will end up lost. You are not going to get there. Just know that. But it's all about that journey. It was real. It was real right then. That business I was developing, that program, that course, that whatever, it was real, and this is all real. This is me living my life out loud so we can all do our dreams. Heyo, welcome to the Death of a Dream podcast, where we do dreams. And I'm your host, Hannah Nuss, just navigating this journey with you. Gosh, I had a download for my third book, and I'm so excited to write that book. Almost like, okay, let's just skip all the things that are necessary and required to launch the second book. Let's just get into the third one, which I am excited to write it and launch it. But obviously, we have to do justice. Justice must be served for the second book as well. And yeah, but I'm excited. I don't know that download is the right description, but that's the way that I would say it, because I will not even be looking for that information. And all of a sudden, it'll just be like, poof, here you go. Here's everything that you needed. And I got the download for my second book title after I finished the first book. So there is a definite chance that the second book is done. You know? How amazing is that? And if that is true, then we've done a second book. We're doing dreams. I always wanted to be a writer. I decided that I would write. I find that sort of complex and complicated, you know, because what is success in writing? Is it simply the act of? And what I could tell you is that I have not observed what most people would call success in terms of authorship. Okay. You know, not a New York Times bestseller. Certainly haven't topped any lists of things that you would find important. But you know, for me, I've reached lives that I wouldn't have otherwise. I've said words that other said and written words that others have found comforting in times of need. I have comforted individuals and helped them to see the light in an otherwise dark and scary situation. I reached people that were probably deemed unreachable, and it's been pretty amazing. I'm so grateful that I've been able to tap into these specific audiences and help them. And what we're going to explore today is really all about how we do that. And my thoughts on marketing, period, like just thoughts on marketing and reaching an audience. And yeah, we're going to dive into that. But today, my great thing is that third book download. You know, I remember when I came out of the conference and they told you to write things, to write dreams down that you had. And out of my group of three, I was the only one who was like, I'll tell you guys what I want to do. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, okay? I'll tell you. I'm going to write 5 books. And both of them almost instantly were like, 5? Doesn't one seem like a insurmountable task? I'm like, I know. Doesn't it? They're like, okay, 5. Okay. Why 5? I don't know. It's just 5. I'm going to write 5 books. I'm going to write 5 books. And, you know, to be given the third book topic in this way to allow intuition to continue guiding this journey, which was definitely something that I had tapped out of for so long. It was really hard to get back into my own truth and my own artist intuition because I hadn't regarded myself as that for so long. I hadn't been in control of or understood mediums of which I wanted to utilize. I just sort of wrote off the idea of creation of life itself and independent pathways. I had just written those off completely. And I didn't really see that as something that I could do. And so after I went to this conference and we had that conversation and I said, it's 5 books, it's 5 books. I know it's 5 books. I decided, yeah, it's 5 books. And I just continued trusting that somewhere along the way that would make sense. Even though in that moment, writing that made the least sense possible. The least sense. And then as I went down that road and I started kind of forcing myself to write, which didn't end up working out, I felt like it made even less sense than I had before. Like, okay, you wrote 5 books and writing 1 book was extremely taxing and nearly impossible. Writing 1 book? Now you want to write 2? You really want to write 5? Whew. And so I think every time that I'm at sort of a standstill with my book or I'm feeling this struggle of how are we going to make this so? How do we sort of venture into this new task? How do we move into that? I am generally given the download for the next thing, for the next book, for the next journey that I get to bring to life. And so I'm extremely grateful for this time and this ability to get back to myself, to get back to my own artistic and creative endeavors and way of thinking, and to not shame that out of myself, even though every second of every day I am facing the fact that my brain definitely has always worked different than other people's. And I've had to figure out ways to overcome that. And certainly, you know, to any normal thinking mind, it would be pretty easy. You're just going to find ways to make money. And that's how you'll make money. You'll make ways. And my brain is not broken, but it definitely measures by impact instead of monetary value. And, you know, when that's at the root of what you're trying to do, building is a little it's different. It definitely is different. And I went through and I tried getting advice from said people who said things like, you have to build in this very specific way. It cannot be built in that way. You have lost your mind. You can't do it like that. Please stop. And I couldn't stop. This was the way that I saw it. this was the way that made sense for me. And I had already wasted enough of my life not respecting the fact that impact was of utmost importance, that the value of what I was doing was more important. And that was etched into everything that I said my entire life. Like, I just want to like help change lives. I don't know how you do that. I understand that that's such a big vision. What a weird big vision to have. And that was the work that I wanted to do. And it's been a complicated journey because it's this realization that you can't do that. You know, and even the people who are doing that are sort of selling people on this short vision of what that looks like in this. Your shamed and short vision of what that looks like. Like it's only a motivation thing, and it's not. It's not rah, rah, rah at some conference, go change your own life, even though that's a piece of it. It's like, how do you get back to tapping into what's important to you? How do you get back to, as an artist and sort of neurodivergent thought leader, how do you get back to this like intrinsic value of life? And how do you exist in enough worlds, in both worlds, inevitably, enough to continue talking about it, to continue like surviving off of it? And it is such a hard balance, because once you find that, like, no, I'm really here to change people's lives, but not in the way that it's been approached in this like example-based leadership, in this service-based way of showing up, in this like, if this helps you, great. If not, I don't know. And it's so tough. It's so tough. It's complicated. And we're going to get into that. But today, my great thing is I have my third book title and subtitle in my head. And every time that that happens, I think that it pushes me to finish the work that I'm working on right now, to begin exploring what the next project looks like. And so I'm really excited to not only be mounting the finish of book number two, which, writing a book while doing nothing inevitably. And really, at the time that I wrote my first book, I was building the foundation of Local. So it wasn't like I was doing nothing. So it's almost laughable that I say it like that. But definitely writing that first book without as many expectations and responsibilities as I have right now was so much easier. So easy, in fact, I thought like, oh, this will be easy. I did it the first time. This will be so much easier. I'll just do it like this. And, you know, it hasn't been that much easier. So I am excited to get that finished and to sort of move into the direction of the third book while consciously streaming and living the fifth book. And we're almost going to be into the sixth. We're about 2 months away from entering the sixth season of the show, which is just the sixth year of my life doing this work and saving myself from being miserable, spiteful, hateful, and just sad. Nothing driving me forward consistently enough to feel good about the work that I was doing and the way that I was impacting the world. So Yeah, that's my great thing. Go ahead and take time for yourself. Recognize yourself for your greatness. I wanted to explore this today because it is a concept that I have been bouncing around since probably about December of last year. I had re-entered my service to the algorithm life again. It's so great. And I was looking at, okay, how do I get deeper into this? Because this definitely works. And when I'm not working it, it trickles away and people forget and I'm non-existent and no one comes to my shop. But what I was finding was like, when people were finding my shop, it was allowing me to connect at a deeper level. And because I got to connect with humans at a deeper level, like I was experiencing so many different dreams, and I was working with people pretty actively on the things that they had in their heart, and it, you know, balancing that and then my life and this portion of life that I had really kept safe. Like after I left the corporate world, I had done a good enough job of finding what balance was going to look like for me in this. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, attention. Whoa, we remember, right? What that kind of attention success felt like. And so quickly I got right back into that rat race. I was like, okay, people are liking this. Okay, let's go build this. Okay, people are liking this. Okay, let's go build this. Okay, da, 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 da. And it felt good, right? For my brain, it was like, whoa, that was a lot of likes. That was a lot of interest. That was a lot of da, 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 da. And so then I just start running and posting and being socially available to everyone all of the time, the same way that they were socially available to me all of the time. And it was extremely beneficial and beautiful and amazing. And wow, what a thing. What a beautiful thing. And then it was January of 2023. So I was about 6 months into having established my gift shop that I own, named Local, and my mother-in-law passed away very suddenly. She had been sick, but she hadn't really been sick, and I don't know how to describe that except for she was one of the strongest women that I've ever met. You had no idea. When she would show up places, they'd be like, what? I thought you said she was sick. I thought you said she had cancer. I thought, like, that doesn't look like someone that's had cancer for that long, that's in chemo right now, that's all these things. Like, are you sure? I'm like, I know. She's amazing. And we'll never know how much pain she was in. And we never knew if she was. And I don't know. And so when she passed away, and as quickly as she passed away, it just rocked everyone. Like, whoa, hold on. Nope. And so around that time, my whole world just started actively crumbling. Like, I wasn't able to do the things that I was doing before. I had to come to terms with the fact that even though I had built this thing, I was a human being, and that life would still happen to me. I was not some superhuman entrepreneur who didn't have things. And I couldn't ignore the fact that I was human. And the more that I tried to just be like, nope, I'll show up anyways. I have no feelings. This doesn't impact me the way that it impacts everyone else. I'm not. And life just kind of kept handing blow after blow after blow in that season. And I was like, no, I'm angry. I'm tired. I'm feeling all of this. I don't have time to feel all of this. I have to keep burning and building, and I got to keep up with this algorithmic rush of attention. And if I don't, what a waste. And what a terrible entrepreneur I am. And how dare I not succumb to this, like, scale build at the cost of everything? How dare I not just continue posting even though I had nothing left to give at the end of the day? How dare I? I have people to serve. I have this brand to build. What am I doing, and why can't I show up, and what's going on, and why am I angry again? Because I'm happy, but I'm angry, and I don't understand why. And luckily, right at that time, I'd had a mentor through a program called the Global Good Fund, and they work with socially conscious business builders because they understand that a socially driven company is built different than a company that is focused on scale and profits and at the forefront. And obviously, we all have to be focused on those things, but at the forefront of my business was the impact that it had. And and so that impact, that ability, looked different and required different mentorship. And so I was very blessed to have a mentor at that time. And she had come in and she sort of said, like, what's taking the most time from you right now? Like, and I had heard that old adage of, like, get out of your business to build your business. But the way that she said it, the way that she put it, and the burnout that I was facing right in that moment really put it all into perspective. And I think it's a really interesting sort of position that I'm back in right now, which is this holistic realization that I have always believed, and I would say to doctors until I was blue in the face, that word of mouth is the only thing that's going to build your business. Especially with some of the service lines that I worked with. Like, that's it. That's all. And I would describe it as this, and this is kind of a hard, I worked with a weight loss specialist for a while, and I said, okay, so you're spending $300,000 on newspaper and billboard ads. And I will tell you right now, the last time that I had a newspaper presented to me or clipped and sent to me in the mail was this, like, super passive aggressive message from someone that was quite a bit older than me, because that was the media that they're used to consuming and utilizing and sharing. And so I was like, imagine grandma sends this weight loss article to a grandchild who is struggling with their weight. Now, assuming that this is like a passive-aggressive pass and this isn't coming from a loving place, because it probably isn't, just to all the Karens in the world, you know, like, you need to see this specialist, you need to lose weight, never been able to figure out why you're so fat, da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Anyways, so grandma sends this article to her grandchild, probably being like, oh, this will help them. They'll finally be able to lose weight, probably being loving. But grandchild sees this and is like, oh my gosh, how insensitive. You know, maybe they're not even struggling with weight. Maybe they're struggling with infertility and as a result of hormone imbalance and just all of the stressors that go along with that, they have gained some weight. And now, you know, what could have been a surgical procedure that could have helped them is now something that they will swear off forever because Grandma Mildred sent this article, this passive aggressive, here, lose weight. And then maybe it was not sent with that intention, but that's definitely how it was received. And holy moly, all of a sudden they're swearing you off forever and they haven't even had a chance to meet you or understand the surgery, but they want nothing to do with it. Now imagine that happening 10 times over every time that someone is interacting with you. And sure, all press is good press, but at the end of the day, are we putting more bad taste in people's mouth or more good? And so they would say, well, probably bad. You're probably right. Okay. And the people that are able to get this surgery probably are not still the people who are reading the newspaper. Now, not in every instance, and I think the media at large is starting to change, but, and it has to. But, at the end of the day, the best marketing that we have are in the warm handshakes, right? Because I'm thinking about this and I'm like, when is the last time that a social media-based relationship gone well, turned into anything of value? I would say it's a great entry point to learn more. So I do think that it's necessary, but in terms of building meaningful connections, I don't feel like it's a great avenue. I feel like it's great with the addition of ways to explore that relationship in depth. So if you would find my information on, I don't know, Facebook, right? And then you might find my podcast and then you might go, okay, I'm going to listen to a couple of podcasts, see what this gal's all about. Cause I can't quite draw it from what I'm reading here. And I do want to explore more. So here, and then maybe you're going to buy the book or maybe you aren't going to listen to a podcast. You're going to buy the book, right? Like however you choose to continue exploring. And this is why the depth of media is really important, right? So people can interact in a way that they see fit and they can build that trust and relationship with you over time because it takes time. And do socials build depth as well? I don't believe so. And so I'm sort of at this interesting place where you know that you need to exist there, but I'm also understanding the value of my time and that I can't sit and only exist there because really that's not where any of the relationships that I've built now have come from. Like one of my closest friendships and relationships started by me just walking past their garden a couple days a week. And over time, you know, the interactions built, more conversations, and we just kind of kept bumping into each other. And I would say for everyone that I have relationships with, they happened in the physical spot, not in this like digital realm. The majority of our interactions happened physically at meetings, at meetups, at different things. And so while I know that's not realistic because we're busy, but do we have to be busy? Do we have to do all the things? Or do we do all the things as a result of living a majority of our time on social media, seeing all the other people doing all the things, thus forcing us to do all the things? Like, we have done nothing social media worthy in the last 2 weeks. We cleaned out our garage. That felt amazing. Our kids are in a kind of downtime of their athletic events. Nothing notable there. I guess I could continue posting on like the just boredom that exists. I could keep telling you all about the books that I'm reading and exploring right now. but I'm just in kind of research mode and sort of just exist in this physical world mode. And I have to find what that looks like and what's important to me. And obviously I run a small business and it's very important that I continue spreading in this way. But finding a balance that makes sense in a world that works for me is probably of utmost importance right now. And I don't know. I'm sort of in this willingness to mentally explore the importance of those interactions and the depth of them. I don't know. It's complicated. And I'm willing to continue exploring that complication. As always, you're smart, you're strong, you're beautiful. What are you going to do? Change the world. Hey, I've enjoyed spending time with you, and I cannot thank you enough for making what I do possible. If you want to continue to support the show and therefore continue the development of everything that we're doing here with the Death of a Dream and the development of Local and all of the platforms that allow dreamers to do, you can go ahead and connect with us on socials at Local Shop Space and connect with me on socials at Hannah Nuss. And I would love to see you there. Go ahead and check out all of our websites and everything that we do here. I would love you to do all of that, to like, share, and comment on everything that we're doing. But bottom line, I just want you to do your dreams. And as long as you're going after the things that set your heart on fire, that's all that really matters. Change the world.